Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, noon Eastern, and it's time to choose good news. Wow. Unlocking Kingdom Success. Going to be a great day. Going to be a really, really great day. I'm excited, and I hope you're excited too. Man, it's been three weeks since we've had a live podcast, and truly have missed you. Had a great time away with my family. We did a trip to the eastern part of the United States, and I'm telling you what, if you have never done that, if you've never experienced that with your kids, especially if you've got kids of an age that would be interested in that and can remember that, man, what a time. We had some good times learning about some history of our country. Might talk about that a little bit later on. I don't know if we'll do that today, but maybe in a future podcast episode, some of the things, about the United States history and our freedoms and things like that. Really, really was a great time. But I am Anthony Wade. I'm here to host Choose Good News today. This is a time where we get to take a look at things from a kingdom perspective. And if you're a believer, hopefully you do that every day anyway, but it's good to do that together. Iron sharpens iron, and a friend is there for himself, for his friends. The Bible talks about there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know that that's Jesus, and we're to sharpen each other and be able to help each other on in this, this journey, I guess, if you want to say it that way. But this is just a wonderful time, and we're going to get into really a topic here, unlocking kingdom success. This is something that actually some of you that might be watching here, I'll get to some of our comments here in just a second, but some of you that might be watching from our church, the church that I pastor, some of these things are going to be familiar to you because I just preached along these lines on Sunday morning. Three keys, actually, I think it was called Three Keys to Kingdom Success, and we're going to talk about those. But I really wanted to do this in this format today. I am by myself today. Those of you who are regular watchers, our youth group is headed to youth camp right now. Actually, they're getting ready to check in. And Joel is our youth pastor, as many of you know, and getting ready to start a three-day stretch with all the kids. And so if you guys are praying people, will you please say a prayer for Pastor Joel and his staff that are going to be there? In all seriousness, it's going to be a great time away for our kids. Speaking of which, I've got two teenagers, and Jennifer is taking our kids to camp right now as we speak. She's on her way. So you're stuck with me today by myself. But I really think, as I was saying a few minutes ago, I think that this is going to be a good format to be able to have this discussion, to be able to talk about kingdom success and really get into maybe even some of the nuts and bolts of how to walk these steps out, right? Theory is good, and so many times we hear things from a scriptural perspective, whether it's a sermon or a teaching or even a conversation with friends, a Bible study or something like that. And so often we can walk away and think, man, that was great, right? Those are great points, but how am I ever going to do that in my life? And so I really wanted to dive into that here on the podcast in this format to really have a chance to maybe just be a little bit more real and take some of your questions if you have them, and just be able to talk about these keys to kingdom success. So one more time, we'll put this up here on the screen one last time, unlocking kingdom success. This is going to be a good one. So let's see who is with us today. Carl Sanders. This comment was 45 minutes before the broadcast started. Carl, I got news for you, man. You win the award. You were there first, bright and early. He said, having a great day, and I'm ready to make it better with the truth that you're going to share with us. Well, I really hope that that's the case. I know that that's the case. By faith, I know that we're going to be able to receive some things together from the Word. Excited about that. Diana says, ready to go. Me too. Gary says, I'm here, ready to go, looking forward to this. Bree says, hi, friends. Jay Michael says, hello, all. I got to tell you, Jay, I am so thankful to get to know you over this avenue here. And I really appreciate you. I appreciate you. I don't know exactly how you found us, but you've added a lot of insight in your comments. And I appreciate you, brother. So, you know, the social media world and the technological world isn't so bad when you get to make new friends like this. So welcome, Jay. It's good to see you. Carol says, hello. Trish says, yay, Wednesday. Hi. Well, we're saying hi back to you, Trish. It's good to see you, or at least see your face on the icon here on the screen. Bree says, I've got Kelly here today as well. Well, hello, Kelly. Good to have you. And let's see. He says, Gary said, hey, Diana, happy anniversary. Tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, 2 days from now, is my parents' 49th year anniversary. So Gary and Diana, happy anniversary from all of us here at the Choose Good News team. You are truly an inspiration. You've been an inspiration to me, obviously, for a lot of years, for 46 of those years. And I know that you're reaching a lot of people, and you've been able to help a lot of folks. And through the years with marriage seminars and things that you've done, you've really helped a lot of couples. And you are an example, a prime example of what a great marriage looks like. So happy anniversary here in 2 days to you. And that next year's the big 5-0. So that'll be a good one. Jay Michael, Travel Mercies for the Youth and their pastor. Thank you, brother. And and his brother Jim Ward attends. Jay, well, all right. Well, it's great to make that connection, and hopefully I get to see you face to face sometime. So I want to talk about this subject, and this subject of unlocking kingdom success is one that I think, and I mean, if we're all honest with ourselves, you know, every single one of us wants to see success in our lives, right? I mean, I can't imagine somebody waking up and thinking to themselves, man, I hope that I'm an abject failure today, right? I don't think that that's anybody's thought process. Nobody watching this, I'm sure. You can put in the comments if you've ever felt like that. Maybe you've gone through a depressed time in your life before you met Jesus, or had some times in your life where you felt like a failure. But nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody's goal list at the beginning of every year, how to make this year a better year, is to, you know, just say, well, I just want to fail at everything. No, we all have things that we need, and we all have things. For example, you know, obviously the biggies, right? Food, shelter, clothing, the basic necessities of life. You know, I think that you could start defining, maybe some people would, I say it this way, some people might start defining success by having all of our needs met, right? I would submit to you that in the kingdom, those are not the places that we need to start. Now, we don't take anything in the kingdom for granted necessarily. I'm not suggesting that we, you know, just go around taking God for granted. That's not even kind of close to what I'm saying. But if we look at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes through, this is kind of right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going through some truths. And one of the things he says in that stretch there, starting around verse 25, he said, you know, consider the birds of the air, the fowls of the air. He said, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And so, you know, food is not something that we're supposed to put high on our priority list to make a, you know, to attain every day. Now, I know some of you might be saying, well, maybe that's okay for the United States, but what about some of these third world countries? Trust me, I've been to several, more than a few third world countries now, and I've seen folks that are striving for that. But then I've also seen right in the middle of those third world countries, people putting kingdom principles into operation where they understand the righteousness of God, and they understand who they've been made to be, and they step right out and they just walk in the benefits of verse 33 of that stretch of scripture there. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what things is he talking about? He's talking about, first of all, consider the fowls of the air. They don't sow, reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And then he says in the very following verses, he says, consider the lilies, how they grow. So there's something interesting about this. He said, we're talking about kingdom success today. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow, right? And I think that that's very important to understand, because we're not just supposed to look at the lilies. Like sometimes we read those verses of scripture like that, and you know, you read it and say, well, I'm supposed to just consider the lilies. Well, what am I supposed to consider about them? Maybe you've read that verse of scripture or heard that verse of scripture quoted your whole life, and you're thinking to yourself, well, what am I supposed to consider about them? Well, the very next words, matter of fact, I'm going to pull that up here. I am going to pull that up because it's vital that we see that. I want you to see this with your own two eyes. And let's see here. Having a little being by myself today, I'm going to do all this myself. So Matthew chapter 6, I'll pull these verses up because listen, when we see what Jesus is saying, everything kind of shifts and everything changes. So Matthew chapter 6, I will share. And let's see here. We have a new, look at that. We're going to use this today, this view, just me and the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, and it comes down here in verse 25. This is where, so you can see it if you're taking notes or if you want to, you know, visualize these. Verse 25 is where he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. And he says this, he says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment or clothing? He says, life is so much bigger than food and clothes. And I think that it's interesting that these are the things that so many people worry about sometimes on a daily basis. He said, verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, reap, gather into your barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That's what I just shared. Now watch this. Check this out. He says, not only food, he said, why do you take thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. So he's saying, I want you to consider the lilies of the field on the heels of what? He says over here, right here in the first part of the verse, he says, and why take you thought for raiment? So he said, this is the whole deal about food. You don't need to worry about that. In fact, he says, worry. He says, which of you by taking thought, which is care, fear, worry, anxiety, which of you by struggling about this or toiling about this in your mind can add one cubit to his stature? Now, I know that reading that might, you know, we hear about Goliath, you know, being nine, I think it was nine or nine and a half cubits high. But really the Greek rendering of this literally says, one moment to his life or one, any time to his life. So by worrying about things, you're not going to extend your life. In fact, worry will shorten your life. You can put that in the comments. Worry will shorten your life. So you need to stay away from that. So then he says, and why are you even taking thought for your clothing? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now watch this. He says, they toil not, neither do they spin. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now, this is huge because when I'm considering, when I go out and when we have, actually, Jennifer, I wish I would have brought these pictures up because we've got some beautiful lilies in the back in the backyard that have sprung up. These things are gorgeous. They should be on a postcard or something like that. And they're huge. They're in full bloom right now. And I think they're Easter, no, not Easter lilies. Calla lilies, I think is what they are. Anyway, I don't know all the flowers, so please excuse me. Maybe we'll share a picture of this next week. But I was doing some yard work out there. I was watering some things. And I actually, it's pretty funny because I just was thinking about this verse of scripture two nights ago. I'm watering the trees and these kind of things. I get to the lilies and I'm just watering them. And I just pause there for a second and I'm just considering them for a moment. I want you to put yourself with me there. I was considering the lilies. I was considering how they grow. And Jesus said, they don't toil, right? That's part of the curse. When Adam sinned, Jesus said the very first part of the curse that God at least addressed him with, right? He talked to the woman, he talked to the serpent. But Adam's part, when God got to Adam, he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. And he said, you're going to eat bread all the days of your life, but he said, you're going to do it in toil and then the sweat of your face and the sweat of your brow. In other words, your life is going to be full of toil and sweat and anxiety and trying to figure this out. And Jesus comes and he's preaching this beautiful Sermon on the Mount. And we know, especially those of you that might have heard me teach along these lines at some point in time, you might have heard me say that you know, these this toil, this anxiety, this sweat, this trying to get it for ourselves, that was the first part of the curse that died through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Because he was going through that same process of trying to figure it out himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he's there praying, he's literally having this conversation with God, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he's going through all of his options mentally, if you want to put it that way. And he says, Father, he says, if there's any other way that I can get this done, will you please let this cup pass from me? But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And this is so interesting because later on the Bible talks about how you might think that you've gone through some things and you're fighting a very tough fight of faith, but the New Testament writer says you've not resisted unto blood. In other words, you haven't put your thought life down so much to the point of receiving God's will for your life like Jesus did. He literally sweat great drops of blood. So his blood was mingled with the sweat of his brow. Oh, this is so good. But the sweat of his brow, I want you to understand this, so that you can be redeemed from this part, right? So his blood touched every part of your life. By his stripes, you're healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Or in the New Testament, it says, by his stripes, you were healed. So this is all a done deal. But I want you to see this, that the toil, going back to this verse of scripture here, the toil of life and trying to figure these things out, the lilies don't go through that. They don't toil. And then it says, neither do they spin. In other words, he said, why are you taking thought for raiment? So we're talking about clothes here. And when he says, neither do they spin, he's talking about like the spinning on the loom, making their own fabric on a loom. That's what this is a reference to. Maybe some of you have never thought about what's that spin talking about? Well, they don't spin. Like, they don't have to create this. They are clothed from the inside out. And it says later on in the next verse, it says, and I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, like one flower. He had so much glory. The way his servants were dressed literally made a queen faint when she saw it. And that's his servants, right? His servants, not just him. And so this is saying, Jesus is saying here, even Solomon in all of his majestic glory was not clothed like one lily. And that's astounding to me to think about. And as I was in the backyard the other day thinking about these things, I was pondering, what this life looks like a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, I just had a moment with God out in the backyard. How much time do we waste trying to figure out the keys to success, the pathway to success, how to get to the finish line of whatever we think is the definition of success, and how often do we do that without ever considering how a flower does it and how we are so much better than that, how God has created us to have so much more dominion and authority than that flower. Let's go to a couple. Let's just look at a couple of these. Susie Lundy, good to see you. Susie says she's here listening. And let's see here. Carol says, hi, Susie. Susie says, hi, Carol. And Bree says this, my grandma had 500 plus daylilies in her yard. They grew on the high parts of the mountain and in the valley. They would move their flower head towards the sun. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. How neat is that? So the head of the flower, they would move towards the sun, right? Always. I think there's some great symbolism in that. And remind, you can put it in the comments, Bree, but I think your grandma lived in North Carolina. Is that right? The mountains you're referencing, the mountains of North Carolina. But how many times do we go through and not even consider this toiling, right? This spin cycle, as I like to say, of trying to figure everything out. Now, I want to go through three keys, and I want to do this in a way here today. We're, like I said, where we're going to be able to take some questions, some comments, but I want to talk about these keys to success from a standpoint that hopefully you understand that these are for you, right? These keys are not you know, hidden from you. They're hidden for you. They're like a treasure that's hidden so that we can understand. And they're hidden right out in the open, by the way. It's not like they're, it's some secret. They're right there in God's word. But I'm going to share this, and I'm going to go ahead and say the three keys right now to kingdom success, how to unlocking kingdom success. And I just want to give a little bit of background on this. I heard this for the first time some 25 years ago when I was in college. Went to Oral Roberts University, and in those days it was great. Brother Roberts was still alive. He was at the in the twilight years of his life, so he preached one chapel a year. He came back to campus one time a year to bring a message. He was in kind of those, I think he was in his 80s at that point. Yeah, I think he actually celebrated his 80th birthday while I was in school, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so he shared three keys to kingdom success, and I've heard these other people share these on social media the latter years, and I just they've rung true in my heart for so long. But these are great reminders to some of you. These are going to be reminders to some of you. This might be brand new information. Either way, buckle your seatbelts. Okay, so kingdom success key number one: find out what the will of God is. Find out what the will of God is. And I know some of you might be thinking to yourself right now, well, that's, how do I do that? Well, we'll talk about that here in a second. Number two, after you've done number one, number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. Now, that might sound harsh, right? That might sound like, you know, arrogant or being aloof or something like that. Trust me, it's not. It'll all make sense here in a second. So, and after those first two, number three is get the job done at any cost. Get the job done at any cost. So kingdom key number one, kingdom success key number one, find out the will of God. Number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. And number three, get the job done at any cost. So I want to go through these one at a time. And I want to just focus a little bit on really the simplicity of this. Okay. We live in a world where increasingly it seems like people are averse to hearing the voice of God. And you'll even hear comments these days. I mean, then these thought processes and people's atheistic mentality or doubting mentality has permeated so many hearts, and it's so vital. Like the avenues like this on YouTube or any other social media outlet, I mean, these are ways that we can use. These are tools that we can use to get the word of God out. Now, I mean, some people I've heard, especially when the internet, 20 years ago when it was first becoming popular, people would be, I've even heard some preacher, stay away from that internet, that net, it'll catch you and it'll pull you in and it'll, pornography and all this other stuff. Well, that can happen, okay, if your heart's not pure, your heart's not right, you're not seeking after the right things. But last time I checked, we're called to be fishers of men. And if you ask me, God has given us the biggest net to be able to catch souls for the kingdom in the history of this world with this internet. And so I'm thankful for this. But now here's the thing. There's some of these questions that have come up, like, you can't trust the Bible. For example, I've heard this so many times. You can't trust the Bible because it was just written by men. Well, so's the newspaper and horoscopes and all these things that you trust in, right? All these news articles and these, sports headlines and things like that, and economic journals. Those are all written by men, scientific journals. But somehow people want to single out the Word of God, which was very clearly written by men as the Holy Spirit moved on them. The Bible says this, actually. The scriptures were written by men of old as the Spirit of God moved on them and as the Lord himself gave them the utterance. So this is the divine breathed word of God. And if you don't believe that, okay, just pray about it. Just spend some time allowing the Lord to talk to you about it. I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm just here to declare good news to you today. It's my only agenda. But we need to be cautious that we don't get trapped into the thinking of the world. And what I mean by that is there are so many people in the world that they're not even sure that you can hear the voice of God. And speaking of Oral Roberts University, while I was there, you know, that whole university was founded on a mandate that the Lord breathed into Brother Robert's heart. He whispered into his heart and he gave him these words. He said, first of all, he said, build me a university. He said, build it on my authority and on the Holy Spirit. So that university was built on the authority of the Word of God and on literally the Lord himself's authority. And the instructions went on to say this, said, raise up your students to hear my voice. Now notice the pronouns there. I always like to point that out. Raise up your students to hear my voice, God said, to go where my light is seen dim, where my voice is heard small, where my power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. Their work will exceed yours, and in that I am well pleased. So part of the command, part of what the school was founded on, was to teach young men and women, young adult men and women, to go into their world. And there's more to it that, you know, it was based on a huge principle of spirit, soul, and body. In fact, the logo or the crest of the university is a triangle, spirit, soul, and body. And so, educating the whole man is the motto of the school, educating the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, not just to fill your mind up with knowledge. That's the problem with most universities now. They educate the mind, but they leave out the spirit and the body, right? And so educating the whole man. So if we don't understand spiritually how we're supposed to move forward in this life, a head full of knowledge doesn't do us any good. And so raise up your students to hear my voice. So it, you know, I could just go by that and say, well, I believe that the Lord wants us to hear his voice based on that, but we don't do anything based on what somebody else says about things. We do it by what the Word of God says, right? And so I want to take you through a few scriptures here today. We're going to start in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm just going to fire through some of these. Let's go. Let's see here. Jay says this, says, scripture was written by men loyal to and loved God. They totally sold out to God. It's inspired by God. Absolutely. Yes, sir. I don't know why it won't go to this when I hit share. So it says in John chapter 10, Jesus is teaching a parable here in these first 10 verses or so. And he says in verse 1, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So this is the parable of the door, right? And the shepherd, keeps his sheep, and Jesus says, he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he says this, watch this, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The shepherd does this. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Ooh, I love that. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at this. For they know his voice. And then he says this, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'm going to pause right here, and I just want you to just ponder this for a second, right? How often do we spend, you, fill in the blank right there, how often do you spend, how often do I spend cultivating an ear for voices that are not the shepherd's? How often do we do that? How often do we go through life tuning our ear in and making sure that our ear is ready to hear every voice out there? From political commentary to sports radio to economic sound bites and science journals and all these experts of the day, how often do we train ourselves to listen to their voices and to take what they're saying as the gospel truth? And honestly, we don't take the time to cultivate an ear to listen to the shepherd. Now, this is, as you know, this podcast is not bad news. And this is not condemnation. This is just a question. And if you haven't been taking the time to cultivate that ear to hear what the Lord Jesus is saying to you, then don't be surprised when you don't hear his voice. Because see, Jesus is talking. If either he's the same, you know, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So he's either the same yesterday, today, and forever, like the Bible says, or he's not. I choose to believe what the Bible says. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's still speaking to his sheep. And his sheep are still called to hear his voice, and his sheep are still called to be drawn to his voice over a stranger's voice. Now he says this, scrolling down here to verse 27 really quickly, and it says, he says this just to clarify in case anybody's wondering. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it's very clear here that Jesus wants us to follow his voice. Now let's go to another verse. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh no. Yeah, Hebrew, there we go. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's see here. I'm going to, man, I don't want to read too much for time's sake. Let me just read verse 7 here. If verse 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, and then it says later on in verse 15, he repeats that. The writer of Hebrews says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In fact, the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 7 says it again. It says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So this is not talking about the children of Israel as they hardened their hearts. This is a present day command to believers to not harden our hearts. And look at this, watch this. If you will hear his voice. So if for us to now currently, this is written after the cross, this is written to the New Testament church. It's written to you and to me, right? Vicariously here. It's written to us through this church, right? These Hebrews. And it says, today, if you'll hear his voice. So that tells me that we're called to be hearing his voice. It tells me, it reinforces what Jesus was saying in John chapter 10, that he's the shepherd. We're supposed to know his voice. And it says here, if you'll hear his voice, watch this, harden not your hearts. Let me go back to chapter 3. I like this. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Well, in verse 7 goes into a little bit more detail. Verse 8, rather. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Whoa. So what's the temptation, right? Did God tempt man? I've heard it preached this way that, you know, in the wilderness, when they came through, you know, 40 years in the desert, God was tempting them. He was testing them the whole way around that mountain, you know, as they continue to walk around that mountain and wander in the desert for 40 years. No, that's not right at all. In fact, in Psalms, the writer says that the children of Israel were the ones tempting God. Time after time after time after time, God's chosen people were tempting God. Oh God, you brought us through the Red Sea, or started even before that, right? You brought us out of Egypt. How wonderful, right? Pharaoh finally let us go after these 10 marvelous acts of God, these 10 miracles, right? He's let us go. They get to the Red Sea and they say, well, he let us out here to die. Now here we are, you know, just going to be killed. I would rather die back there with a full belly than come out here and die. And God moves on Moses and said, you know, stretch out your rod and divide it. A lot of people think that God divided the Red Sea. He did, but he told Moses, he said, stretch out your rod and divide it. So God and man working together saw the plan of God and the plan of God and God's will for the children of Israel come to pass. So then they go through, every single one of the Egyptian soldiers, including Pharaoh, died. Not one of them escaped. And so they're completely free. And they're on that other bank on the other side of the Red Sea. And they are just dancing and shouting. And Miriam's leading a praise and worship time there, just a praise service. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just by the end of the chapter, they had forgotten all about that. I want you to think about this. And then it goes time after time after time, from the manna to the, they needed water and God made water come out of a rock and just all these things, one thing after another, and every step of the way, the children of Israel were doubting and questioning God. So they tempted God. They hardened their hearts. And watch this. Why did they harden their hearts? Because they didn't hear and listen to his voice and hear and really comprehend what God was saying his plan for them was. The whole time, God's plan was to take them out of that bondage, take them into a land flowing with milk and honey, where they could what? Where they could drink out of wells they didn't dig, where they could live in houses that they didn't build, where they could eat of vineyards that they didn't plant. Like, God had all this set up for them, a place where they wouldn't have to water their, it's funny. I won't go to that scripture and verse right now, but he's giving them a picture of what this is going to be like. And he said, you're not going to carry water to water your garden, like watering a garden, right? I mean, it's like nowadays we don't have to carry water. We just turn a hose on and the plumbing takes it there. We don't have to carry it bucket by bucket. He said, you're not going to have to carry water to your vegetables and your plants like a gardener. He said, no. He said, the water's going to come down off of the mountains and there's going to be a land that I'm taking you to that's going to be so rich and so lush, it'll water itself. I mean, think about the promises of God. They didn't listen to those promises, so they ended up what? Hardening their hearts and not walking out what God had for them. And it all came from not listening to his voice. So the writer of Hebrews here is saying this. He's saying, don't harden your hearts like they did. Why? Because you won't be able to enter into the rest of God. The rest. Right? He says, right here at the end of that chapter, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So the children of Israel didn't listen to the voice of God. So for us to have faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, the word of Christ, hearing the voice of the Lord and anointed preaching and teaching about what God has said for our lives. That's how faith comes to the surface. That's how faith rises up. And if we don't hear the word of God, if we don't listen to his voice, we won't be able to enter into our promised land because of unbelief. The very next verse says this, chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, this is not just a story from something that happened 3,500 years ago. This is something present day for you. God's got a rest. Like Adam was created. He literally opened his eyes. He got a command from God about how to be walk in authority and dominion and carry the weight of the glory of God. And right after he gets all those commands, God said, okay, this was day 6. He said, the first thing we're going to do is rest together. And so man was literally the type of what God did for mankind and what he's done for us now that the last Adam has redeemed us. The type is that we start off by entering into rest, hearing the voice of God, and then walking it out. Wow, this is powerful stuff. Let's go to some of your comments. What'd Kathy say? Kathy says, people who study counterfeit money study the real money. If we listen and learn God's voice, you'll know the wrong voices. I love that. Some of you guys know some of my background. I was in banking and I caught a stack of $50 bills that were counterfeit one time when I'd only been working at the bank not long. I was still in the teller line. I was in a management training program. I was on the teller line. They shipped me down to the west side of Cincinnati to a town called Cheviot. And anyway, I'm going through, a guy brings in like thousands of dollars down there. The first of every month, he's a landlord, and he brought in like $30,000-$40,000 around the first week of every month. And I was going through it, and I was counting just thousands of dollars. And all of a sudden, I came across some very fake $50 bills. And that's true. And until you understand how to handle the real, you'll fall for the counterfeit. Oh, there's so much there. Thank you for that comment, Kathy. I appreciate that. Let's go to another verse here really quickly. Revelation chapter 3. And verses 20 and 22, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Watch this. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And he ends up saying this. He actually says this a couple different times, 7 churches he talks to. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's vital that we understand that Jesus is still present day speaking, and we need to hear what he's saying. Man, there's so many verses of scripture. I'm gonna fire through a couple more. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? John chapter 14, verse 26 is very plain. Verse 26, Jesus said, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you." Whatever I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is going to remind us the things that Jesus has told us. And I've said this, in fact, I said this on Sunday. I said, but you'll never be able to remember something. He'll never bring it to your remembrance here, right? He'll never be able to bring it to your remembrance if you haven't first remembered it or committed it to memory. We've got to remember it before we can remember it, or we got to commit it to memory first. And I don't know. I think I put John 16 in here also. Look, John chapter 16, verse 13 goes into a little more detail. This is the same kind of speech, if you want to say that. This is the same time that Jesus is spending with his disciples. The same thing that he just said in John 14, this is the same sitting. He's still talking to them in the same night. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will he do? He just said that he will bring all things that Jesus said to his remembrance. He says this, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Wow. So if this does not light your fire, as the old preachers would say, your wood's wet. Because this is telling us beyond any shadow of a doubt. I mean, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I've just given you six or seven verses of scripture that talk about how God wants us to hear his voice and be led by his Spirit, which is, by the way, the Spirit who is, by the way, still speaking that shall he speak. I'm not an English major, but that tells me when Jesus said that, he was talking about the future. He said, he shall speak something to you. In other words, he said, when he comes, right? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall speak. How much more plain can it be? So the Holy Spirit is talking to us. Jesus is still talking to us by the Holy Ghost. In fact, we know from what he just said is the Holy Spirit is probably the most unselfish being in the entire history of the entire planet or galaxies, right? Because he never does anything of himself or for himself. He's always helping somebody, comforting somebody. He's always at the ready to do the will of the Father. In Genesis chapter 1, Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. He didn't do anything until God said, "Light be." Holy Spirit went to work. He's been a helper since day one. And so the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us, and he's speaking to us. He is speaking to us. Praise God. Until you remember it. Allie liked that. And Susie said, "No doubt." Oh, look at that picture of her beautiful Doberman. "Been thinking about you a lot, Susie. Been thinking about you a lot. God is good." And yeah, you've just got a lot of people that love you. You're on a kingdom success journey right now yourself. Okay, so number one, step one of unlocking kingdom success is finding out the will of God. And I think that we've at least studied enough today so that you know, or you can see pretty clearly, that God wants to reveal his will to you. He's not holding or withholding his will from you. He's always at the ready to share his will with you. Share his will with you. And so once you hear from him, step two is the next part of unlocking kingdom success is conferring no longer with flesh and blood. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. Now, this might sound harsh a little bit, because, and I just want to reiterate that it's not about just being a separatist, right? When you hear God's will for your life, it's not like you go into seclusion or go into hiding. No, quite the contrary. I mean, everything that we do, we're in the world, but not of it. We're called to live out our, you know, gospel reality, our kingdom reality in the world with people. Okay, so don't be a hermit. Don't be a spiritual hermit. The world doesn't need any spiritual hermits that have, you know, their truth and go hide in their house for the next 40 years and never share it and never, never spread the word or spread the kingdom. Anyway, that's maybe a whole other issue or another subject to talk about. But it's not being a hermit. In fact, what this is just understanding that once you hear from the Lord what you're supposed to do, what His will is for your life, you don't need to go to somebody else and find out if He was right about it. Now, that deserves the biggest duh, right? But I mean, how many times do we do that as believers? We run those ideas, God ideas, past, you know, 14 people to make sure that we're supposed to step out in faith and do what God's told us to do. Now, I'm not, this is hard to say, because so many people don't hear the truth of it without hearing the other part. So, of course, are you supposed to share the vision? Yes. Are you supposed to proclaim what God's will is for your life? Maybe, right? Sometimes you're supposed to just keep your head down and just keep working, and the naysayers are going to come. The naysayers are absolutely going to come. I should have had a screen up here. I don't know if we can do that, Allie, if you can pull up something from my social media last week where I shared, maybe we can pull it up full screen. I don't know exactly. It's kind of spur of the moment. You don't have to do that. But I shared something that basically said that Noah did not stop his construction, right? He didn't stop construction on the ark to explain to all the doubters and the haters what he was doing and why they need to believe what he was doing. No, he just kept his head down. He kept working for somewhere around 100 years. I mean, trust me, you haven't been working 100 years to build whatever God's sharing with you. I can promise you that. And so he literally spent 100 years or so. Some people say 120. They go by kind of his children's ages and stuff like that. It's a little bit conjecture. But somewhere between 80 and 120 years, Noah spent building the ark. He spent building the ark. And then when he was done, he just let the rain do the talking. And I love that. I love that visual. Look what Allie added for us. Oh, these are the lilies from my backyard. Did Jennifer send these to you? She did. Allie's in the back office. Give me a thumbs up. I'm going to add you to the stream real quick. She's back there. I did not see that picture. Thank you so much. So these are the lilies in the backyard. Like, those should be, should they not be? Give me a thumbs up. Come on. Give me a thumbs up. There's actually two sets of these right side by side. And those lilies are in the backyard. These are the ones I was watering when I was considering them and the goodness of God the other night. Okay. I can't stare at my lilies. Actually mine and Jen's lilies. They're Jennifer's lilies too. I actually bought them for her. Anyway, love you, baby, if you're watching or listening. She has this. Noah didn't stop building the ark to explain himself to every doubter and hater. Keep building and let the rain do the talking. I love that. Keep building and let the rain do the talking. Now, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. That's hard to do, because what we want to do is we want to explain why we're right all the time. And God's not calling you to explain why you're right to all the folks so that they'll say, hey, good job, well done. No, I don't care if you ever tell me well done, right? I mean, everybody likes encouragement, and everybody likes to be, kind of prodded along and encouraged to keep moving forward. And that's great. But here's the thing. The question for you is, what if nobody ever does that for you? What if nobody ever encourages you? Are you still going to be faithful to what you've heard the will of God is for your life? Are you going to do it even if nobody else pats you on the back? Because like I said Sunday morning, I'm only looking for one person. I want to hear that from one person. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the only person I'm looking forward to hearing that to. So whether you ever tell me well done or not is not going to define I'm not going to get my identity. It's not going to define who I am based on whether you're in agreement or not. Now, because this is what some people think. This is a lie of the enemy, that if you're doing God's work, if you're doing the will of God, and if you're doing God's work and you're doing it great, then everybody's going to get on board and they'll be able to see that you're really doing God's will. Maybe not. What do you mean, maybe not? Well, did they get on board with Jesus? I mean, there's never been a person ever in the history of the world that absolutely nailed the will of God in his life like Jesus. And they, not only did they not get on board with him, a great many did, but not everybody. In fact, one time he preached a sermon that was so rousing in John chapter 6 that every single person except his disciples, the 12, every single one of them left. And he turned to them and he said, are you guys going to leave too? And those people that left because the word was too hard for them to understand, because he was saying things in that chapter like, listen, if you want to partake of the kingdom, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you don't do that, you've got no part in the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing. And they were like, this is a hard saying. And Jesus was like, well, if you're listening with the wrong ears, he's thinking to himself, yeah. But if you're listening with the correct ears, with spiritual ears, it all makes perfect sense. And so those people got so mad at him, they actually ended up killing him for that. And I'm behind. I want to share a few more pictures. Excuse me, verses. I got lilies on my mind now. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, familiar verses of scripture. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want you to notice this. He says, I beseech you, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Well, in Romans 11, at the end of it, he says this. He said in verse 33, he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has, I'll just stop there for time's sake. He's saying, who's known the mind of the Lord? Well, he goes on to let us know that if we keep going, if we're not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can prove the will of the Lord. You can prove the will of God in your life. So certainly you can hear it, but you're not going to hear it if you're constantly mindful of your body and your flesh and your surroundings and everything that's going on around you. That's why he said, you've got to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. If you sacrifice your body, make it a living sacrifice, not just your physical body, but your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you don't do that, you can never be transformed to the image of God and how he wants you to be able to walk these things out in your life. Now, this is probably the biggest verse of the entire day, the biggest verse of the entire day. And it's, I'm going to skip this one. I had a couple more. I'm just going to go straight to Galatians because of time. Now, in Galatians 1, Paul, so we're talking about conferring not with flesh and blood. Once you've got this, that you've heard the will of the Father, what does it mean to, really, truly, to not confer with flesh and blood? Well, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So he's just starting this off by saying, listen, I didn't get my marching orders from you or any other man. I got my marching orders from Jesus Christ and God the Father. And then he says this now down, I mean, he gives some of his background about how he used to kill folks. And he says this, you've heard about my conversation in time past. Conversation, it just means lifestyle, that Greek word. The Jews region, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. He literally killed Christians. He was a first century mob hitman commissioned by the Jewish religion, by the Jews, to execute Christians. But he says this, check this out. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, praise God. What did he call him? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Whoa, look at this. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said this, he said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he spent 15 days after 3 years in a desert in Arabia. He went to see Peter and saw him and James, the Lord's brother. And then he says this, afterwards, he says he came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And in fact, if you look at in the next chapter, it talks about 14 more years. He went back and spent 14 more years. So in a total, a span of 17 years plus, he spent 15 days sharing with Peter and James, the Lord's brother. That's all he went and talked to make sure that he honored the church and the apostles that were before him, and to make sure that he wasn't, outside of the will of God. So this is huge because the Apostle Paul, who had probably arguably, especially on a global worldwide scale, a ministry to the Gentiles, a calling to the entire world, you and I, every single person listening to this is probably a disciple and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in part because of the works of Paul. That just boggles my mind to think about. So if it was up to him, if he made the decision to get a mandate from God and not confer with flesh and blood, then that tells me that I don't have to go get every opinion from every person around every corner to find out if I'm doing the right thing. Now, if you've got a new covenant, Bible-believing pastor, if you've got spirit-filled people around you who are especially seniors in the faith with you that you want to make sure, like he did, make sure that you're not off course, that you're not just a spiritual lone ranger out there doing your own thing. I mean, this is huge. It doesn't mean separate yourself completely. But what it does mean is the call of God on your life, you're not to convince everybody else to get on board with your call. I mean, that I will just say this right now. I haven't given myself any truth bombs today. That was a big truth bomb explosion. You're not called, and I'm not called to make sure that you get on board with me to make sure that my call gets done. No, I'm to keep my head down, and I'm called to keep working and getting the job done at all costs, which is step three, which we won't spend that much time on because we're almost out of time. But my job is to do what God's called me to do. Now, if he's called you to prison ministry and there are other people that he's called to prison ministry, well, then you work together and you come together and make sure that you get that job done, right? But if he's called you to prison ministry, you don't go to an established, you know, youth ministry or outreach ministry around the community and try to convince all of them that they need to go to the prison with you. Because what you're doing is you haven't spent time listening. You weren't in their heart. You don't know what God told them about what to do with their life. So this will stop a lot of divisions in the body of Christ. And I'm going to go ahead. I'll go ahead quickly and share just a couple more verses here. And then we'll call it a day here. But these are big because step one, find out the will of God. Step two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. And step three, get the job done at any cost. Get the job done at any cost. So Colossians chapter 3, we're going to just read verse 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Jesus. He is the only one that you answer to in this deal. Now, obviously, if you're doing things that are cross-grained to the Word of God, and if you're doing things that are out there just not scriptural, then there needs to be some correction and some guidance, and the Word does that, and Spirit-filled mentors and disciplers in the Word can help you do that. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is given for reproof and correction, instruction and righteousness. But you're working for the Lord. You're not working for me, and I told the folks at our church on Sunday, as their pastor, they're not working for me. Now they can work with me and they can, and I, my job is to provide a space and an atmosphere for them to be able to grow, to learn who they are in Christ, to know what God's will is for them, and then to empower them to walk it out in their world. But they're not working for me. I've seen way too many ministers that try to get as many people as possible on board so that they can fund, you know, his projects, and they can fund, I'm not going to go down that road right now, but it's just sad to see very few people are really, it seems like, I shouldn't paint with a broad brush, but it seems like very few pastors these days are there to encourage and equip their folks to spread their wings and be everything God's called them to be and look and work fully and totally for the Lord, because you serve the Lord. I think I brought this up in the message. Yeah, Colossians 3 in the message says this. I like this. It says, and don't just do the minimum. Well, I think that's verse 22 ending up. Don't just do the minimum that will get you by. It said, do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. What's it saying? Work from your heart, not from your mind. Work from your heart for your real master, God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. A couple more verses before we call it. call our time here today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, says, "Not let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We shall reap if we faint not. I think that I brought this up in the message too. I did. I love this. Watch this. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Oh, I love this. Don't allow yourselves. I'm going to highlight that. Let's not allow ourselves. That tells me that it's my job and it's possible that I can control my emotions to the point where I will not get fatigued with doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. I love it. And lastly, last verse for the day is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty." Again, the message, I don't know why I just pulled up these in the message, but I loved it. I had them read this in the message Sunday at church. Hard work always pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table. Man, I have known people through the years that they had a lot of talk, but they never had any bread on the table, spiritually or otherwise. So I just, you know, Deuteronomy 31, 6. Well, let me just, I had these pulled up, but let me just encourage you here real quick. This is the parting verses, two of them. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not," or don't be afraid of them. "For the Lord your God, he it is that doth go with thee." So even in the Old Testament, I want you to see this. Even in the Old Testament, God promised them that he was going to go with them. He will not fail you or forsake you. And then lastly, the creme de la creme is Matthew 28. It's the last verse, the last words that Jesus said that are on his earthly ministry recorded by Matthew. It says, I'll just skip here. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen," or so be it. So Jesus is always with us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, just like God promised in the old covenant in Deuteronomy, he says, "I will always be with you." And Jesus is saying the same thing. Even to the end of the world, I'll be with you. And if he doesn't change, that means he's still speaking to us. He still wants us to hear his voice. And then we can be just like the Apostle Paul. After we hear the will of God for our life, we can determine not to run it by too many people and get their ideas. Don't get a God idea and then Google how to do it. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're supposed to get a God idea and then listen to the Holy Ghost of how to walk it out. And then we keep our head down and we walk it out and we finish the job at all costs. We get the job done. Wow. Wow. Man, Randy said, so good. Love this message. It really is. It is a... loved your, and Susie goes by Sting on here, but Susie said, "Loved your blog today. You nailed it." Well, you know what? You guys are a blessing. And I'm telling you right now, Jay, all of you who have been watching with us today, Carl, Diana, Gary, Carol, Trish, Bree, Kelly, all you guys, it's such a pleasure to be on this journey with you. And I just want to encourage you, this, what we're called to walk out together and what you're called to walk out in your life is not small potatoes, all right? I was having a talk with somebody else last night who has stepped out and is on a ministry journey of her own. And Jennifer and I were talking to her last night, and it can be discouraging at times, especially when you start out and nobody wants to hear what you're saying. Nobody seems to want to get on board and share the vision of what God's calling you to do. And this person, you know, I could sense just a little bit that she was a little discouraged, you know, not giving up or anything like that, but just a little discouraged. And we just encouraged her. I mean, you know, these, I used this Choose Good News podcast as an example. You know, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and there are a lot of great podcasts. This is not podcast envy at all, but I shared with her last night. I said, "Listen, you know, we're sharing some really good news on this podcast on a weekly basis." And I see some other people that have podcasts that are heard or have views of 50,000 or 100,000 views every time they put out a podcast. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We want the word to go out. But, you know, we have 100 or 150 views on this podcast on a regular basis. And that's okay. I'm not despising anything, any beginnings. The Bible says not to despise small beginnings. If this is as big as it ever gets, I'm okay. I'm going to keep my head down and I'm going to get the job done at all costs until the Lord tells me to shift directions or whatever. I'm here doing what the Lord's called me to do. And so you know, not necessarily a plug for the podcast, but if this ministers to you, I encourage you, share it with folks. You know, let's increase the awareness of what God's doing, because we need to get the word out for this good news. And like Jennifer and I were talking to this lady last night. We were just encouraging her, just keep going, because what you're doing is good. We're behind you in this, we were telling her. And and I know that there are people that are going to catch the vision. And so I'm just going to share that as a parting encouragement to anybody listening to this. Same thing goes for you. Whatever God's called you to do, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't stop. Don't think, man, this is just too much, and allow the enemy through your emotions or through mental fatigue or through you know, whatever other means that he might try to attack you. Don't let the enemy have any place in your life. The Bible is very clear. It says, give no place to the devil. And so I know you can do it. We're in this together. And this is the fight of faith, but the Bible calls it the good fight of faith. A good fight is one that we win. And so you are a champion in Christ. I love you. I'm for you. And I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity to take this journey together and keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. I will say this in parting, the one-year Bible journey, if you've not been a part of this, man, jump on board. And if you are, man, share this. Share these daily Bible readings on social media, but not just social media. Literally, take these the links to these daily readings and text them to like 20 of your friends and just be like, you know, get on board with this. We're going to be here. It's still a couple more months, but we're going to be getting into the New Testament. And when we get there, there's going to be some really good, fun readings. And matter of fact, there's going to be some things to come, kind of a New Testament challenge that I'm going to have for you guys. But listen, we're here for each other. We're here for you. I love you guys. Remember, Jesus is Lord. You are complete in him, and have just an awesome, awesome, awesome day. We love you so much. Miss Joel, Miss Jennifer, we missed you guys this week, but this was fun. Love you guys. Kingdom success. We'll be right back.